Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Last Christian. We're going to have a good day today. It is Bible study day. We had that very first glitch, so that means that's going to be good because we got rid of it before the rest of the show. So we are moving along in Genesis. We are actually up to chapter 4. What do you think about that, JD?
Well, I'm impressed, David, that we're up to 4. I mean, that's incredible. But
yeah, it's so detailed in here. There is a lot of stuff when you get out there, but not like as incredibly detailed as chapter 1 and all the stuff there. But there's a lot to unpack, too. Yeah. But lest we forget, would you pray into our show?
I would be happy to do that. Father, we come to you today and we ask humbly that you give us the words to say and that you give the listener the ears to hear your words. And we wish everyone to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior as we have. And we hope that through this broadcast that someone will come to know you. And we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We agree. So I don't know if you remember all the stuff we talked about so far.
Oh, no. No way I remember every.
That's funny. I don't even remember. and I talked about it.
It's your show, but goodness, thanks.
It goes in there somewhere, and you can pull it out every once in a while when you need it. It's like it's the junk drawer. You know, I know I got one of those somewhere. Hang on.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Hey, do you know the rules about the junk drawer, too, right, with all your stuff?
What's that?
Well, if there's one, there's more.
Well, yeah.
And that's always the rule that I've found. Like, let's say you're looking for a certain type of screw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're going through and you're looking through all your stuff. If you found one, you can almost guarantee there's at least one more.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when I was building, that was a good sign. If I found one screw of the exact kind I need, oh, great. Now I know there's more.
I'm pretty organized when it comes to screws and bolts and wires and all that. You know, I try to keep
scary thought.
I try to keep it organized. Almost have to.
That's kind of how it is with the word with me. I'm like, it's in there, and I know if I see a concept in the word, I know there's another one in there somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he always says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses.
Right.
So if he came out, and we're going to see, you know, today we're talking about Cain and Abel.
Mm-hmm.
And what is interesting, and I actually never heard anyone else talk about, is they have a very similar lineage. And that's going to be an interesting study. I think we'll really dig into that maybe on either their you know, offering or maybe their lineage in our Bible study, which is Thursday nights, and everybody can join in on the discussion. Yeah, Thursday nights, 8 p.m.
Yeah, you might want to go ahead and tell people about that before we get into this.
Yeah, just go right there to The Hidden Day. You see it right there, thehiddenday.com. There's a link on there every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And we're doing the time change next week, so check with your local stuff. Mm. But the point being is Cain and Seth have very similar names and everything, right? Going right through their heritage, and it's quite fascinating. We might study it. If we get to it today, we'll get to it, but there's so much.
Yeah.
All right, but let's read it.
Okay.
Chapter 4. And Adam knew his wife. That's an interesting phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's just look at those for a minute. Now there is some I don't know if it's a heresy because not a religious doctrine, but there's a false teaching around that Cain and Abel were twins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. And but that's clearly not what it says. And then they come along, oh, well, you know, Cain was the seed of the serpent. And that's where this arises from. All right. And that this is where the seed of the serpent, and then it goes into the Nephilim. And that's where a lot of people go off the rails with the Nephilim, saying, oh, it's the sons of Seth and the sons of Cain, and Cain and Abel were twins, and when Eve ate the fruit, that meant that she had sex with the devil, and so now there's two babies in her womb, and then Cain did, it's like one lie leads to the next.
It doesn't say anything close to that, David.
When
you read it, I know later in the Bible there is a pair of twins, and it's explained that they are twins, mm-hmm. and it explains that the second twin is hanging on to that first one, you know. And mm-hmm. here it makes it very clear that the Lord gave me, you know, and then I bore again. I mean, that's to me, that's real.
Well, clear. I mean, how crystal clear is this? Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain.
I mean, thank you. Yeah,
it can't get much more clearer than that.
Right. Right. Totally agree.
Okay. So, and then if you look again, we always take a look at Jubilees because it's kind of an expanded mm-hmm. one. Okay. Let me say Doom to Die. So we're in Genesis in Jubilees chapter 3, 6 days of the week. They brought the cattle, the sheep. He built up the flesh. There's Eve. Okay, and then let me see down here. All right, chapter 3, he's talking the beast. And then right here in chapter 4 in Jubilees as well, it kind of mirrors it a little bit. And it says, in the third week in the second Jubilee, so that's between 64 and 70 Anomunde, mm-hmm. she gave birth to Cain. Mm-hmm. And it was the fourth week, so between 71 and 77, she gave birth to Abel. Mm-hmm. So, if, in fact, she can hold on to one of the twins for 7 years, I might buy it. Okay.
Well, the Jubilees goes a little bit further and even talks about the sister, the very first sister, right?
Yeah. And then it was in the fifth week, she gave birth to her daughter, Awan, mm-hmm. or Awan. And that, people always ask that question, where did Cain get his wife? Oh, it was one of his sisters. Yeah.
It doesn't
take a rocket surgeon to figure that out.
Right, right.
and then it goes through the whole list, and they all had this and married that, and so you get all the names and Jubilees of their mm-hmm. wives. Mm-hmm. It's all, okay? And even if you don't necessarily think Jubilees is canon, it's at least a history book, and at least answers your question. So deal with it.
It's reference mm-hmm. material.
That's, yeah. So, now there's a lot in the story of Cain and Abel. Okay. Mm-hmm. It does represent, the good and the bad side of things. And that's where we can get into with the lineage. Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting. But I mean, it's clear as day, Adam knew his wife, she conceived and bore Cain. Right. And then it was at a later time, she bore Abel. They weren't right. twins. Mm-hmm. And he was definitely 100% not conceived by the serpent.
Amen.
Now they'll try and say that, but there's a reason they say that now. Okay? Cuz seraphim is a type of what we would call an angel, but it's a seraphim and a cherubim, and then there are angels, which are we just kind of classify them all as angels, but an angel mm-hmm. is basically a messenger. Okay. So there's messenger angels, but there's the archangels as well. Okay. And so Satan originally was an archangel. He was like the hoopah, the covering angel.
Yeah.
And he basically covered the throne. And he thought that, he was all that and a bag of chips. So he wanted everyone to worship him.
That didn't work out.
Yeah, it didn't work out. So you got Michael or Michael is mm-hmm. who is like God, and then Gabriel is Gab, the strength of God, like Gabriel, the strength of God.
Okay, crazy
so
question.
They all represent.
Crazy mm-hmm. question to start with. I mean, I've heard of Michael, and I've heard of Gabriel, mm-hmm. And of course, I've heard of Lucifer, no doubt. But mm-hmm. are there other angels in the Bible? Because I really don't know the answer to this question. Are there other angels in the Bible that are named like that? I mean,
in the Bible. There's Enoch names Uriel, and I forgot the other one, But Azazel was one of the top angels, but he was one of the ones that fell. There was 200 that kind of came down, and Azazel was kind of their leader. And he's like, I don't want to do that, because then you guys are just going to blame me. And they're like, no, we'll all get together and we'll swear a pact to stand by each other. They're like, okay. And they all jumped in and became the fallen watchers.
Okay. Like I said, it's just a crazy question, because the Lord did identify a couple of them for sure. And I just couldn't remember. I couldn't remember if there was any others names. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get you off base there. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. And Michael's specifically to deal with Israel. So anytime you see Michael hanging around doing stuff, it's Israel kind of a thing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know?
Okay. I didn't realize that. That's good information.
Okay. Yeah, check it out. Okay. And we'll do a study on the angels in there too. And maybe we'll throw the other guys in there as well.
Okay. Works for me.
Because, but we'll talk about that another time. We're talking about Cain and Abel at this point. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of typology in Cain and Abel.
Okay.
So let's start. I kind of bullet pointed these things. And Cain and Abel, well, let's read, what happened to them first. Because most people know, but some people don't know. If you can see the picture behind me.
Yeah, I'll put it up. I got the same picture here. Hold on. Let me put it up.
So that is Cain and Abel, and they were bringing an offering to the Lord. And you can see the vegetables that Cain brought, but you can see the sacrifice of the lamb that that Abel brought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then, there was a big issue around that. And there's a lot of talk about, what does that mean?
Yeah. I didn't understand either. I think we talked about this on another show. I never could make sense out of the fact that the Lord accepted one gift, but the other one he didn't. And you went and you explained that, but now that I've said that, you might want to explain it again for anybody that didn't listen to that particular show.
Well, that's where we're going today.
Okay, good, good. Then I asked a good question for a change.
Yay! Okay, so she brought another in it. And so verse 3, chapter 4, verse 3. Mm-hmm. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Abel, he brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had no respect.
Mm-hmm.
And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So, he was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
So we see this, it's Shah. So he didn't even consider it. It says, by implication, to inspect, to consider, to be compassionate or stuff like that. So he didn't have any. He didn't even consider it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it, had no respect. He's like, he didn't consider his offering for Cain. Well, why didn't he consider his offering? Well, that's a very good question. I'm glad you asked.
Yeah, that's what I asked the first time around, but I was going to just let you explain it this time.
Yep. And that's what God said, too. He said, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you wroth? And why has your countenance fallen? Mm-hmm. If you do well, shouldn't you be accepted? Mm-hmm. And if you don't do well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire to rule over him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's read that in English.
Okay.
Because that's kind of the, where did it go? Oh, there we go. Okay. Sometimes the computer kind of yells at me.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so here's the New American Standard. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard, so Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. And Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about that when we were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. So that is that.
Well, now, this is one thing. All right, this is another one of the deals. Maybe you got another reference point to go to on this one, and maybe you just don't know the answer to it. But there's one time, this happened to him one time, and that was enough to tick him off enough to kill his brother?
Well, that's part of the narrative we're going to get into.
Okay.
And it's,
I figured it was, showed, but you know, I just wanted to throw that in there. Okay, go ahead.
Because you could look at this and say, well, what happened? What'd I do? But it was clearly out of the abundance of his heart.
Okay.
All right. So this isn't like a one-off, you know?
Yeah.
This is, that was my, showing what it is, but it's giving specific incidents in order to, you know, establish a pattern and a type. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that is the nature of sin and free will. So basically it shows that humans have free will and they're responsible for their actions. So we'll start there. God's warning to Cain is sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you, but you must rule over it, implies that sin is a force that humans can choose to resist.
Okay.
So this was him being, you know, for lack of a better word, is being stingy and not really doing things as God commands.
Okay.
So, and that stands in contrast to the modern views that we have that tend to see human behavior as deterministic, influenced by your, you know, Freudianism stuff. You know, why do you hate your mother? It's your mother's fault. Everything's your mother's fault. So, and, you know, it's you're influenced by your environment, biological factors, and psychological. Well, indeed, we do have generational contracts that Satan will try to use to bring those cases against you, 100%. But as I'm teaching in the generational contracts teachings, is you are still held accountable for what you do, even though Satan's bringing these accusations and trying to get you to do this. All right? And it says basically the sins, you know, each man will pay for his own sins, even though they're influenced by their generations. And that's kind of where we're at here. So I can back up a little bit.
Yeah, the way I was looking at this from a completely human point of view is I'm looking at Cain and Abel were, you know, alive at exactly the same time. There was still that communication with God going on. And so one has got to, one, in my opinion, is saying, oh, well, now you're playing favorites, so I'm going to get rid of the favorite. You know, I mean, that's kind of what went through my mind. I don't know how close I am on that, but.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons. He said, why are you mad? He's like, and that's what we see today in this presidential race. One of them has, so everyone loves them, and the other one not so much. So the other one gets mad. And you know, throws a fit. And says, "Why you did this? You did that? Blah, 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 and you're not allowed at this rally." You know, so things like that. It's all the same thought process here, but it goes back to the beginning. What happened when Adam and Eve saw that they was naked? The first thing they did was
cover themselves. Yeah,
yeah, with plant leaves.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so there and we saw back then there was no blood involved.
Right,
there's no sacrifice, and the life of an animal is in the blood, which is why it tells us don't eat the blood.
Right.
So we saw that blood had to be shed, and you know, fig leaves fall off all the time, so. That's not really any kind of a sacrifice.
Makes sense.
All right. So we see the same kind of a thing here, which is one of the arguments, and I believe the strongest one for why it was not accepted, is because although they do have, you know, vegetable offerings and wheat offerings and things that you bring to it, it does not cover sins. It's just an offering that you bring to the Lord. And, I mean, ultimately it was to feed the priests. So basically to take care of the house. So when we're looking at this, that's the first thing. Now, Cain did not want to bring that sacrifice. He's like, no, that's the good stuff. And so there's the next layer of this. He didn't want to bring what's really valuable, so he just brought these plants that just kind of grow on their own.
So he had access to sheep or whatever, right? I mean, he had,
yeah, we'll see later on. that, you know, they say, well, you can't have my vegetables. He says, well, you can't have my sheep. So he could have, you know, one part of the law is if you don't have, you know, a sheep, then you can go and get one when you get there.
Yeah. Because I know that comes up a lot in the Bible during Jesus' day, is that people had to purchase something. That's how things got out of control. But anyway, that's for another show.
So yeah, and we still see it here today. Where every time the holidays come around, all of a sudden everything's twice the price. You know, even the lulav that we get over here is like, you got to buy these lemon looking things and these branches for Sukkot.
Yeah,
and then because they got them in there, and then you gotta wave them. You gotta hold them together and wave them.
That happened this week. I saw a deal where for the first time they have actually gone to the Temple Mount with that stuff and doing that during Sukkot. Yeah.
Okay. Yep, that's a lulav, which is kind of like a lemon. It's a precursor to the lemon. Lemons are hybrids. Mm-hmm. And then so they shake the citrus and the branches, and it all has, you know, the meanings that are involved. But all of a sudden, they're all on the street, and it's, you know, it's like, it's $20 for this. It's a freaking lemon. Why is it $20?
Right?
Because you need it.
Yeah, because you got to have it, right? You got to have it, so we're going to make you pay for it.
And the day after, they're trying to get rid of them. Here, take this. I'll give it to you for a quarter. So... You notice the accent. That's pretty funny. Right? So that's where we're at. So he basically did not want to do what God commanded him to do, and that is, you know, to bring the shed blood. So that leads us into point number two, is sacrifice and worship. So Abel's offering was described as the fat portions and from some of the firstborn of his flock, okay? And that's accepted by God, while Cain offering isn't. In the passage, basically suggests that God values quality, devotion, and sacrifice in worship rather than mere outward rituals.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing today, again, in the religious world, in a particular religion as well. And that's when the Temple Mount, or the temple was taken down, in like 70 A.D., that's when they reimagined the Hebrew religion. Like, well, we can't make sacrifices anymore. What are we going to do? Oh, we'll just say it's good works. Okay, here we are.
Yeah, here we
go. Now, there's no sacrifices. It's just, it's outward rituals. It didn't really cost me anything. Okay? So imagine if Jesus said, hey, listen, instead of giving my life, I'll just bring you a whole bunch of vegetables and we'll call it even.
That ain't gonna work. That ain't it.
So here's Jesus. He comes, and he's, instead of sacrificing his very own life and shedding his blood on the cross, he brings a boatload of vegetables, enough to take the sins from the whole world. Doesn't work that way.
Ain't gonna work.
Okay, and it didn't work here, and this is kind of the picture that it's bringing. So I very heavily lean to the fact that you know, it's an outward ritual and not a sacrifice. So we can dig into a little bit deeper about what that means. Well, why does Cain have this, you know, this heart like this? And why does Abel have a different heart? So this basically challenges the superficial approach to spirituality today and our contemporary culture. And it's, you know, we go to church on Sundays, you know, and there you go. Well, I did it. So I'm going to heaven because I did my outward ritual. I went to church on Sunday. I did my three Hail Marys. Okay, good. I'm out. I'm covered.
No, that don't work.
Same idea that Cain has. Listen. I gave my offering. I'm covered. Okay. Quick.
Right, now I got another stupid question. And if I don't ask it, I'll forget it. Okay. They did stop sacrifices when the temple was destroyed. Is there something there that says that they can't have a sacrifice in another location? It has to be in the temple.
Well, that was their mentality, and they were all driven out of Jerusalem. Technically, you got to go to Jerusalem to do it. And that's what's very important about Israel becoming a nation again in 1948.
Okay.
Is now they can bring it up there and they'll be going there and they will actually have it in the temple yet again, because AC and the boys will be up there saying, "Hey, I'm the sacrifice." And he'll jump on there and say, "Here, it's me, because I'm the Messiah." And the Antichrist will pretend to be Jesus.
Well, just to make it where it doesn't sound like a complete idiot here, when they were on the move, I can't explain it any better than that, when the Israelites left Egypt, they had the temple of, what was it called, the temple of meeting or something like that. Didn't they have
they had a temporary one,
they had sacrifices in, at that location. So, you know, I'm just
That was pre-Jerusalem.
Okay. That I'm sure we'll get to that way on down the line, but it's something that I needed to ask it because it popped in my mind, and you know me, David. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the cloud and the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, they kind of followed it around, and that was the presence of the Lord. But then when he got to Jerusalem, he stopped there.
Okay.
And that's where he's going to come back. So that's going to be an exciting day.
Yeah.
When Jesus does come back, we're going to see that whole pillar thing going on in Jerusalem again.
Yeah.
It's going to be wild.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we could maybe get our cell phones out and record that. Awesome.
I got a feeling we're not going to need cell phones anymore.
Yeah. He's just like, no, just back up in time and go watch it again. You don't need
more. It'll be more like Star Trek stuff, you know, where you just kind of, you've talked.
Yeah, the time loop.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That's a guess.
Yep. So then you got to ask yourself, how does this challenge today's culture of convenience and minimal effort and religious practices and all the stuff that we see today? There's no real sacrifice. Now, we don't have to sacrifice animals now because it says the blood of Jesus was a final sacrifice.
Amen.
But there are things we need to sacrifice because he says, take up your cross and follow me. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage everybody to do that today because Jesus is coming back real soon. So what is the sacrifice that you're willing to do to lay down your life in order to serve him as his ambassador? Mm-hmm. So you can see the events of the world that are coming in, everybody. Amen. Please know who Jesus is. Know that he died and to fulfill that sin contract that you had. Know that he loves you. He loved the whole world enough to die for you and receive that for today. All you got to do is say, "Jesus, I'll accept your contract."
Amen.
And Lord willing, we'll see you in the second half. Bye.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Simon Gaitan. The US has warned Israel at the UN against impeding the flow of humanitarian aid into Gaza. US Ambassador to the UN, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, said that food and supplies must be allowed into Gaza immediately and also called for humanitarian pauses to allow for vaccinations and aid distribution. Thomas-Greenfield warned against, quote, a policy of starvation in northern Gaza, acknowledging that Israel's government has said this is not their policy and that food will not be cut off. She said, quote, we will be watching to see that Israel's actions on the ground match this statement, warning that breaches would have implications under both international and US law. India has criticised Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, blaming him solely for worsening Delhi-Ottawa ties. This comes after Trudeau doubled down on his claims of Indian involvement in the murder of a Canadian Sikh separatist leader while testifying in front of a committee investigating foreign interference in Canada. Ishan Garg tells us more about India's response from New Delhi.
In a very sharply worded statement released last evening, India has said that it blames Justin Trudeau solely for the deterioration in ties between India and Canada, and alluding also to Justin Trudeau's statements about Canada having intelligence about the murder of Hardeep Singh Nijjar and not concrete evidence at one point during the investigation. India also says that's what New Delhi has been claiming all this while, that Canada has not handed over any evidence to New Delhi with respect to the murder or the alleged involvement of Indian diplomats in it. This is despite the Canadian Chargé d'Affaires in New Delhi, who has now been asked to go back to Canada, stating that evidence has been given to India.
The World Food Programme says more than a million people are facing hunger in the Democratic Republic of Congo's northeastern province of Ituri. The province has been racked by conflict for close to a decade. The UN agency says women and children displaced by the conflict between tribal militias have been the hardest hit. Chris Ochamringa has more from Kinshasa.
Families that have fled violent clashes in Ituri province in the northeast of the DRC are facing the risk of starvation. The World Food Programme says the crisis has largely been caused by the armed conflict between militia groups like CODECO and Zaire. The groups have had a long-standing rivalry over land. Congolese government forces have been deployed to end the conflict, but attacks against civilians have continued. The conflict between the Lendu and the Hema ethnic groups have destroyed people's livelihoods and left thousands of people dead over the past 7 years. The DRC government and humanitarian agencies have come up with initiatives to try and end the fighting, but the two communities have kept carrying out reprisal attacks. Chris Ochamringa, Kinshasa.
And former One Direction singer Liam Payne has been found dead in Argentina at the age of 31. From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
Hey everybody, welcome back. We made it so far.
We
JD, you there? You didn't get raptured without me, did you?
No, I didn't. I was kind of hoping a rapture might happen, you know.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We wouldn't have to finish the show. Yeah.
I wish it would happen when we're both on screen. I think that would be so cool.
That'd be cool. And then all of a sudden we both just change and we glow in the dark.
That would
Look, we recorded the rapture. Somebody's got to be recording at the moment it happens with everything going on.
Somebody's got to have that blessing. Lord, please let it be us.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool. I never thought of that because then, you know, then there'll be the naysayers, you know, 100 years later. Oh, I heard about that tribulation deal and sure. We don't believe it. Yeah, that's because you were born 10 years ago. But here's a video. Look.
Yeah, what? Look,
we're walking around changed. All of a sudden. Yeah. Boop, we go in the dark. Changed.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Okay. All right.
Enough of that.
Oh, David, one thing I want to say here real quick is that, you know, anybody out there, we are getting hit by YouTube in particular. They don't like some of the things that we say because we tell the truth. We're not state media. We're not, you know, we don't deal with propaganda. We deal with truth. And that's something that drives YouTube absolutely crazy because, you know, they love the state-run media, and we'll never be that. So anyway, if you want to support our show and help us keep everything free and being able to get out there to it, we do have a sponsor, and David found this organization, and they're backing us up. So, David, you want to tell them about this group? Oh, yeah, there we go.
You can see it right there.
There it is.
Everyday Dose.
Amen.
Okay, it's cool. You know how most of your mushroom coffees kind of taste like bjungaline and plastic mixed together? Yeah, this is actually one I found that does not, because it's actually got coffee in it.
Yeah.
So it has a little bit of coffee, a little bit of mushrooms, a little bit of collagen, a couple of, you know, things. So it actually does a lot of things. If your hair is not growing as fast as you like, or your fingernails, collagen helps with that. So it's really good. But I've noticed a couple of things with it, which is why, you know, I'm cool. You know, if actually you can go to everydaydose.com/hiddenday, and we got a special deal for you there. But one of the things I like is, because I drink a lot of coffee, I just like to drink stuff. So.
Me too.
When I drink the coffee, if I drink the regular coffee, it's okay for a few cups. But then when I start to get up to, you know, 4 or 5, you get the jitter. But I've been up to 4 or 5 with it, and I don't. It actually calms me down even in the evening.
That's cool.
So it doesn't have, like, you know, some crazy amount of weird caffeine. It's just kind of natural. And the mushrooms help with all sorts of things. They're adaptogenic, and they help with your digestion. And I don't know. Go look at the site and look it up. But
give the link
helps one, support us if you get it.
Yeah. Give the link one more time for everybody.
Yeah. Hidden. It's everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Just put hidden day, and then they give this special offers if you put in hidden day.
Amen. And it does help us. And
you get one of those cups.
And we don't. We do not promote anything that isn't good. I mean, we just don't. Yeah. So, you know.
That'd be dumb. The people would be like,
give it a shot.
Now I can't believe anything they say because this is garbage. Yeah, we don't play that game. Now I get a lot. I get a lot of calls for people want. Oh, let me do this. Let me do that. It's like, no, I don't want to do that.
We're not into that. Yeah,
no, that looks like junk. So there's that. Anyway, all right, back to the show. Mm-hmm. We are talking about Cain and Abel and why his offering was no good and why his countenance fell.
Mm-hmm.
It was his old English for his face really, you know, looks horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So it started, it comes from his jealousy too. So we'll talk about that. There's this sibling rivalry,
mm-hmm.
and the roots of violence. And it's interesting. I'm trying to see how this ties together with, you know, Satan getting jealous of us, because that's the only reason he did that. You know, because basically Satan was in a position where he was kind of like the overseer of all God's creation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, he was like next in charge, and he wanted to be number one in charge. I was like, what? So number two is not good enough for you. You know, billions and trillions and gazillions of angels, and you're the top one, but it's not good enough for you.
Yeah.
That's silly. That's just silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I see the same kind of thing here. And Satan was, you know, once he saw that man was given, remember, man was created in his image and after his likeness, so he had equal authority and equal dominion over all of creation. Mm-hmm. And that's what Satan wanted. He wanted power and dominion and authority over the creation. So that's why he came in and tried to steal that contract. So he would trick Adam, or trick Eve first, and then move her into Adam. And then with that trick, he was trying to get the title deed to all of creation, which is why we see that title deed rolled up in Revelation. That's a great scroll. It's a title deed, it's a marriage contract, and a number of things. It's all contract-based. And he was trying to usurp the authority of mankind in order to get power and control over all of creation. Didn't work. God paid for it, got it back. But we're seeing the remnants of that in Cain and Abel. Okay, so basically Cain's jealousy and eventually the murder of Abel, it reflects that deep capacity that we inherited because of our sin for violence. And that stems from the envy and the anger. So we see the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this was the first murder ever.
Yeah.
That we were talking about.
Well, first recorded one, at least.
Yeah. Okay. I just assumed it was the first. Maybe it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But
we always do.
Yeah,
but it was a little bit. They were down the road a piece before they did this.
Okay, so there could have been something else, but there was a, you know.
We have no record of it, and no implying that there ever was one. I'm sorry, but go ahead. What were you saying?
No, that was really my question is whether or not it, you know, this had been done before or this was the very first one. My personal understanding is it was the very first one, but the question that I have that I follow up with is, was he then doomed? I mean, no chance of salvation, or was he forgiven at some point? Or do you have any idea?
Well, that's a really good question. We're going to take a look at that in a minute here too.
Okay.
So there's so here we are. All this power, this thing for power, is justifying their aggression and the conflict. And it's so survival of the fittest. And we heard that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, justice. You know, I didn't get what I deserve. So we see a lot of that in today's culture, too. Oh, I deserve for you to just pay me not to work, you know, and stuff like that. And it's all the same spirit. It just kind of manifests in different ways. Okay, so they basically wanted something without the sacrifice, and that's where Cain was.
They wanted the
rewards. Look at me, you know, I brought my offering, but there was no sacrifice to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know, Bible says you don't work, you don't eat, and so you know, to get something for nothing. So anyway, So that today we could see that because there's violence everywhere. You know, oh, we need reparations. For what? You know?
Right.
People who never were slaves want money from people who never owned slaves.
Right. That's silly.
You know, that's ridiculous. Well, if you're going to do that, then let's go back to the original story where it's all the Anglo-Saxons that were captured for slaves and brought to Africa. Then I want my money.
Yeah.
Where's my money? Because that happened just a few years before the other stuff.
Amen.
Yeah, it's all bad. We don't like slaves, but that's just ridiculous.
Right.
I never owned one, never was one.
No. I don't think anybody in my family ever did.
same story. Mm-hmm. Hey, let me get something with the least amount of work. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, he did say, what did he tell Cain? And the Lord said to Cain in verse 9, right? Actually, let's read. Why are you angry in verse 6? And why is your countenance fallen? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, desires for you, but you must master it. So Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field. Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? That's a little bit snarky.
Yeah. Well, actually, it sounds kind of like me whenever, you know, where's Sean? I don't know. It's not my day to watch him. You know?
Yeah, it's not my turn to watch him. Yeah, we turn that around. Whose turn is it? Okay. So, and obviously God knew, but he was asking because, okay, where's your heart? What's going on here? Tell me. Right. Come on. Tell me. Mm-hmm. So he said, what have you done?
Mm-hmm.
The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. There's a whole topic for you now. What do you mean the blood is crying from the ground?
Yeah. Okay. What does that mean? I mean, I know.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. But basically, the life is in the blood. Did you know the instant you die, your blood is dead, because that's
really
what it is. If your blood is still good, you're alive.
Okay.
It's pretty wild. Mm. It's like you can't use the blood from a guy that just died in like a, you know, in a blood bank or anything.
For surgery.
Like,
yeah. Okay.
I often thought about that. It's, oh, how come, you know, why don't these people that are they're in a car accident or something, then you know they're dead. Why don't you just take their blood real quick?
Yeah. No, I'd never thought about that.
Died.
I'd never thought about that, but that's, yeah, okay. I'd never thought about that, David. That's a new one.
Yep. The instant you die, your blood is dead.
Dead.
Now it's crying to him from the ground.
Mm.
And we see that later when Jesus said, the blood of Christ speaks better things than that of Abel's blood.
Mm.
Okay, so now we're going to have to go in the next show and find out, well, what does that mean, Abel's blood? Why is it crying from the ground? And how is Jesus' blood better? Mm. Oy! Mm. So we got a lot to study.
Yeah, you opened that one up. Okay.
Yeah. But let's go back to this one. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you, and you will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. Okay? So here he is, a vagrant and a wanderer. So there's his punishment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the next verse, Cain says, my punishment is too great to bear. So clearly, he's talking with the Lord, so he knows the Lord's there. It's not like he's an atheist. He's like, you know, you got one level up, and God made your father directly. So you know there's God. And so what happens to him? He says, behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden. So he knows that he's not going to see God's face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. So now he's crying, it's too much, it's too much. Mm-hmm. They'll kill me. Okay? So obviously there was other people on the planet at this time.
Right.
And if he's wandering around, they're kind of all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, wherever I go, and whoever finds me will kill me. So it's not like, you know, there's three guys down the street. Yeah,
right.
Okay, well,
right.
Yeah. Winking, blinking, and nod if they find me. No, he says, whoever. There's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord said to him, and now here we see the mercy, God's mercy, even in the judgment. And that's step four here. Mm-hmm. After Cain kills Abel, God punishes him, but he also protects him from being killed in return, or by being placed, by being killed in return by placing a mark on him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's what he says here. Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken upon him sevenfold.
Mm.
And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain that no one finding him would slay him. So he made this nice mark for him. Okay. Mm. So I don't know what that was. A mark is a cross in the Hebrew.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It would be a cross. That would be my guess.
Yeah, because it's let me see. It's oat. Okay. O. It's Aleph. Aleph. What is it? Oh, okay. Aleph, Yod, Tav. Okay, so it's oat. Which is like not a TH like we know in English, but a TH, you pronounce them separately, but together. So, oat. And it's a signal, a flag, a beacon, an omen, a prodigy. And the original one in the ancient Hebrew was actually a cross, like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we see the Tov is that mark or the sign of the cross on Cain. So we see that even from the beginning, this mark is the cross that we'll see, and that's what we see, Jesus on the cross. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he put it on him, okay? He said he appointed a sign, and doesn't really say where he put that sign. Mm-hmm. It's just, here's a sign. So what did he do with him? So in Jubilees, it says, the Lord reproved Cain because of Abel, because he slay him. He made him a fugitive on the earth. And on this account, check this out. This is interesting. And Jubilees 4, verse 5, it says, and on this account it is written on the heavenly tables. Mm-hmm. Wow. So there's heavenly books. Mm. Cursed is he who smites his neighbor treacherously, and let all who have seen and heard say, so be it. And the man who has seen and not declared it, let him be accursed as the other. For this reason, we announce when we come before the Lord our God, all the sin which is committed in heaven and on earth, and in light and in darkness everywhere. And Adam and his wife mourned for Abel 4 weeks of years. Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Wow. 4 weeks of years. That's how long? 28 years they mourned for Abel. Yowzes. Because, that's like their boy. You know, and first death, and it's like, well, now what are we gonna do?
Yeah,
all right. Oh. And in the fourth year of the fifth week, they became joyful, and Adam knew his wife again. She bare him a son, called his name Seth. Okay, mm-hmm. And God raised up a second seed unto us on the earth instead of Abel, because Cain slew him. So that gives you a little more insight. And in the sixth week, on a Monday, he begat his daughter Azura. Mm-hmm. So Cain took Awan to be his sister, to be his wife, mm-hmm. and she bare him Enoch. Now, that's a different one. We're going to get into that in a little bit, too. Mm-hmm. All right, so we see the lineage going on here, but we see a little bit more to this, too. They mourned for 28 years. That's crazy.
Yeah.
28 years they mourn for him.
Yeah. Well, of course, now the point that needs to be made here at this point is that we're not talking about somebody that's dead at 80 years old. That's, I mean, they mm-hmm. lived a long, long time back in that day. So 28 years to them would have been more like something maybe a year or two for us. I'm just throwing a number.
Well, in comparison, yeah, they it wouldn't be that long, and then they live so long and everything.
Yeah.
That'd be cool, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to live that long. We're going to do that soon.
Yeah.
Just going to live right through it. It's like, oh, you're only 500. Aren't you cute? Yeah. Yeah, I'm a baby. So he put the mark. I don't know where he put it. Mm. It's assumed it was on his forehead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod. Remember Winkin, Blinkin, and Nod? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. East of Eden. So Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. But look back up here. What does God's response to Cain tell us about justice and mercy? Hmm. And how does this counter the modern emphasis on punishment and retribution? And could this be applied to debates around criminal justice, rehabilitation, and the death penalty? So these are the discussion things.
Yeah.
So on one hand, you have, okay, he deserves to die because he killed his brother. And on the other hand, he put this mark of the cross on him, and he was allowed to go so no one would kill him. So now they won't.
Well, isn't there And again, I'm probably jumping way ahead, but isn't there a passage there in the Bible that says that, you know, if you kill somebody, you move to another town or something?
Yeah, it depends. Premeditated murder is, no, we're going to come and get you and we're going to kill you.
Yeah, okay.
You kill someone in an argument, mm-hmm. by accident, stuff like that, there is, you know, the town, oh, I forget what it's called, but it's basically there were specific towns that are around.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would have to stay in that town until the current high priest died.
Yeah, and that kind of, in a way, correct me if I'm wrong, but that kind of, in a way, separates the murder even for modern day, as, mm-hmm. You know, the premeditated versus the unpremeditated, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep, murder versus manslaughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha.
Like that. Mm-hmm. So, that's where we get our punishment system. Mm-hmm. And the high priest, you know, Jesus is our ultimate high priest, so now mm-hmm. he's died, so, you know, we can do that. Now, in today's world, we still have to, in the physical world, pay for that, but in the spiritual mm-hmm. world, it's already been taken care of.
Right. Right.
Okay, so now we're going to see the legacy of Cain's descendants. Okay, so now we're going to see two different things that are going on here. Mm-hmm. Cain also has similar kids as Seth. So let's actually take a look at that. And let me go here. Cain's descendants include figures like Lamech. Well, we think of Lamech as like Noah's dad. Mm-hmm. It's a different Lamech. Mm-hmm. This is the first one, Cain. Mm-hmm. And he, I don't know if he boasts of this, but he says, you know, at later on, chapter 4, verse 23, says, Lamech said to his wives, who is the first polygamist in the Bible, too. Mm-hmm. He had two wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech. Give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me and mm-hmm. a boy for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold.
Mm.
And you're like, what?
He's really proud of himself, isn't he? I mean, he's full of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so there's things. And then there's a whole story on that. Well, mm-hmm. we could see that later. But basically, he was one of the guys was, they were hunting, and he actually shot a guy mm-hmm. with his arrow. But but all of his descendants here, so check out his descendants. Mm-hmm. The violence kind of follows Cain's line and pride, violence and pride, and it stands basically in contrast to God's desire for peace and humility.
That kind of goes back to what you've been teaching. That kind of goes back to what you've been teaching about the different generations. I think you said up to four generations.
Yep.
Or something. Yeah.
Okay. And it was, that's in Deuteronomy. It says it will visit the iniquities of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation.
Okay.
So it goes, basically, that's the lineage of destruction. So let's look at the lineage. This is really interesting when we see this. Let me pull up.
Are we going back all right, to Jubilees?
So we all know, No. It's actually right here. We see it right in Genesis.
Okay,
so this is Cain. Now listen to this. This is Cain. So he's the firstborn. He has a kid named Enoch. Mm-hmm. And then Irad. And then Mahulajiel. Okay. And then Methusael. Mm-hmm. And then Lamech. Okay. And then Lamech's chung with Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal Cain. And Nema. Isn't that weird? Now check out Seth. Mm-hmm. Seth has Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, another Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and then Noah.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very similar. Mm-hmm. So what you start to see is, like, why are these similar? And then in Jubilees, it goes into a little bit. We're running out of time here, so I'll just kind of back into this. Mm-hmm. And then Enoch, it runs into, there's a little bit more about what they did and then the history of what it is. Mm-hmm. But basically what we see here is the two things, the differing views on Genesis 4 regarding Cain's and Abel's offerings. They represent very deep and ethical questions. That's mm-hmm. what we're doing. The difference in the type of sacrifice. But the lineage, it gets something else. I wrote this over here. Hang on. They highlight the diverging paths of humanity, basically.
Okay.
In the early chapters right here of Genesis. And it's so Cain's line is characterized by technological and cultural advancements because he said that he built a city, but it's marked by pride, violence, and a moral decline.
Okay.
So even though you see the same names, it's like, okay, now it's on the other side where Seth's line is characterized. So we see Cain's line, hey, here's the technology, but it's violence and it's decline.
Mm.
And then Seth's line, the good side basically, is faithfulness to God. It leads to Noah, basically through whom humanity is all saved.
Yeah.
Okay. So we see similar lineage, but one side is the pride side and one mm-hmm. side is a humble side.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And from Seth's side, that's where we get, you know, Enoch as we know, the book of Enoch, who was taken up, who basically was raptured before the destruction, but he saw the destruction coming.
Mm.
You know, he prophesied about it, and that was in the days of Jared. In the days of Jared is when they actually started to see the Nephilim come down. That's when they came down and they started to do all these things. And then Enoch prophesied about them. And Enoch actually, you know, walked with God. He was so close to God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why God said, okay, come up here.
Yeah.
But he was so close to God that in Enoch chapter 15, the angels that fell were like, hey, Enoch, God won't let us talk to him. Could you go and talk to him on our behalf and tell him, look, well, sorry, we won't do it again.
Yeah.
And so Enoch goes, and God's like, they're supposed to be coming up here and talking to me about you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, why are you here talking about them?
Yeah, they blew their shot.
You know, they flipped it around. And he's like, there's no way. He says they're in their eternal realm. They made their decision, and that's the name of that tune. And that's why we see them, because now they feel like I got no way out, so they're going to take these women and reproduce their own thing.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to basically create hybrids, and they're going to change the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the Bible says, as in the days of Noah. So that's exactly what we're seeing right now. They're trying to change everybody's DNA in order to hijack humanity. So Satan thinks he won. So anything mRNA, that means to modify your RNA. That's why they got the name of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ribonucleic acids. Because once you change your DNA, you're not human anymore.
Right.
So the mark of the beast leads to that.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not human. You're unredeemable. But Satan believes is he can change everybody's DNA and that he can get rid of Israel, then the prophecies won't come true and he'll win the chess game.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to happen.
All he's got to do is
okay, so tell people about the chess game.
About what?
Tell people about the chess game and how that Jesus already won, and like we're going to
leave.
Well,
we know, he wrote the book knowing the end from the beginning. And it hasn't been wrong a single time, not even once. It never will be. There are unfulfilled prophecies that we are seeing unfold right now in the news. Check out our show. Check out the news. But more than anything, read your Bible. And you will soon discover that there is a good, there is a bad, there is a heaven, there is a hell. And you sure don't want to choose the bad and the hell. So hopefully we'll see you next time.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter if you're an independent. The only thing that really matters is getting news that is correct. And you can only do that from the perspective of what God believes. If you want the real news and look at it from the lens of current events, tune in to The Last Christian every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net.